This is the MMA Takes Podcast.
MMA Takes Podcast.
With your host, Brian Petrie.
Hey now. Hey now.
What's up?
Let's do this motherfucking Pick'em. Pick'em Podcast. Actually, you know what? Got the AC in the background. So fucking unprofessional. I got a fucking vent like right in my office and it just fucking scorches on in here. It's not really that cold outside. Turn that off. So we get a little professionalism in this bitch. What's up with the what's up? Welcome to MMA Takes Podcast. First time listening. I'm your host, Brian Petrie. If you first time, long time, what's good? Getting a little bit of love nowadays from being on the Anakin Florian, which is awesome. I love all the new listeners, all the new people who have DM'd me and followed me and said, hey, you're cool, or, you know, you suck. You know, haven't had many of those, but thank you very much. I appreciate all the feedback. I appreciate it all. But this is this DM Takes Podcast. So what we do here is I give picks on the entire card, give my best bets up. I got a slime ball parlay for you, 4-1 on the year. Woo! My boy Timbo's going to, I believe he told me, Atlantic City? Or maybe a bachelor party, maybe just with his bros. And they're all riding the slime ball, so a little bit of pressure on your boy to deliver. But slime ball is hot right now, so we're going to get it done. Before we get to the picks, you know I got to start with daily complaints. I got to say something that bothers me, and usually it's mundane. Usually it's probably only something that would bother me because, you know, whatever. But I feel like majority of the people that are going to hear this could be like, holy fuck. Really? So anyway, fridge breaks down. I told you guys that. Use the gambling money. I bought a fridge using my mind betting on fights. I'm paying for major appliances. Anyway, order the fridge. Supposed to come Tuesday. Cool. Tuesday rolls around. It is a chaotic day for the wife and I. Fridge is supposed to be here between 12 and 4. I'm usually home by 12 from work. Wife was off, but she had to take her father to a doctor's appointment. You know, I've briefly talked about my father-in-law having some health issues. Got to take him to a doctor's appointment. Didn't want to take him, right? Had to take him. Try to cancel. Try to get other family members to do it because she wanted to clean the house, clean the fridge, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. Couldn't do it. So you had to take him, right? Then she becomes his personal chauffeur. Stop here, I'm thirsty. Stop here, I need my medicine. Stop here, I'm hungry. Let's go to Arby's. You know, I need some scratch-offs, right? So she's fucking driving nuts. So I got off work. My day sucked. Everything was running behind. I'm running late. I hustle over to my parents, get the kids. You know, hi, mom. Hi, see ya. Gotta go. Gotta get home, right? Get home. About 11:20, they call me and go, hey. Or like the dispatch center called me, not the actual driver. Hey, our drivers are running a little early. Are you home? Is it okay if we come a little early? And this was like 11:20. Window was between 12 and 4. Sure, I'm home, right? Just got home. Let me get the fucking fridge ready. Cool. Because we, you know, freezer was already emptied out. Had some stuff in the fridge, you know, kids' milks, kids' yogurts, all that good shit. Took it out, right? Made up, fucking was measuring doorways because the old fridge was pretty big. So I'm like, okay, it's not going to fit through this way. They're going to have to go this way. I got to clean this. I got to push this table this way. I'm doing everything. Meanwhile, I got a one-year-old who's cranky. Got a four-year-old who's, I'm hungry every 5 seconds. You know what I mean? One-year-old, crabby. Okay, she's due for a nap, right? Look around. Forgot the bottle at my parents' house. Forgot the goddamn bottle at my parents. Try to put her down without it. Not an option, boys. Try to do it. Not an option. She's screaming and crying. Meanwhile, I'm like, you know what? Fine. You know, I'm going to deal with the crying. I got to get this fridge out because they're coming. We got to get a new fridge. Take everything out of the fridge. Put it on the counter. 12:20. 1 o'clock hits. Wife is, they still haven't came yet. Wife calls me. She's finally done with her dad. She's coming. I said, they called me 11:20 saying they're going to be here. Don't know what's going on. She gets home about 1:30, still not there. These motherfuckers waltz up at 2:45. So basically an hour and 15 minutes within their window when I got a call at 11:20 saying they're going to be early. Okay, right? You know, now all my cheese and yogurt's bad, you fucks. So I'm expecting you any minute now. So they come in, right? And they are gentlemen with accents, right? And not nice enough guys, I guess, trying to do their job. try to explain to them, hey, listen, this fridge is a little too big for this entryway. You're going to go out, but it's going to fit through the front door and it'll go down the steps. And he's just like, okay, fuck you. Like, I don't need to know that. I've done this a million times. So he goes, hey, can you shut off the water line? I go, what's that? Yeah, can you shut off your water? You got to shut off the water to hook up the hose for the ice maker. Okay, sure. Yeah, I know how to do that. Totally. No clue. Call my stepdad. Me and my parents have relatively the same house. I go down in the laundry room, and I had shut it off before because we remodeled our bathroom. And I remember it was by the water heater. And I call my stepdad. He goes, no. It's not going to be in the water heater. It's going to be a red handle. It's always red. And I'm like, well, I don't see a red handle. I got a red valve, or I said, I got like a greenish blue valve right here. He goes, no. It's always red. So now I'm looking through the fucking ceilings trying to find a red fucking valve. Wife gets on the phone with her father or her dad, right, who shut the water off first before. It's under the steps. All water comes to the front. It's under the steps. We're crawling underneath our steps, which is, you know, there's like a little closet there. We're crawling. There's nothing there, man. I know you didn't go crawling under there to shut that off when you did our fucking fucking bathroom. Call our other father. My wife has two fathers, right? Stepfather, father. Call stepdad. Hey, listen, find the water main outside. Shut it off from there. We go outside. It's not in the front. They're always in the front. It's not in the front. Looking everywhere. These guys finally go, hey, listen, it's been like 15, 20 minutes. We don't have time for this. We have another delivery in this area. So we're going to be in this area. Guy looks at me in my fucking face and says, we're going to be in this area. You call me, we'll come back. Because all they had to do was hook up the fridge, which takes like 5 seconds, and take the old one, right? Because we paid for it. Didn't take the old one. Old one stayed hooked up. New one's in the fucking living room. So I'm like, okay. So now I'm panicking, right? We're going outside. We're looking all over the house. I'm like, this doesn't make any fucking sense. I'm going to go back to what I originally thought it was. I thought it was the valve that my stepdad was like, there's no way that's what it is. That's what the fuck it was. It's not a red valve. It was a greenish blue, and it shut the water off. So I'm like, God damn it. Go with your instincts, Brian. You stick to your instincts with bedding. Do it when it comes to the house. Call these guys back up. No answer. Call them 10 times. Fire off text. Hey, here's my address. Water shut off. Come back. We need this hooked up. Nothing. Call Lowe's. This country lady. Country girl. Uh-huh. How can I help you? Welcome to Lowe's. Uh-huh. And I'm like telling her a thing. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what she's doing. Uh-huh. After everything I say. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, well, honey, I can't help you that's the delivery service. We hire somebody. I can give you their number. So wife calls them. She's on the other phone with them. This guy's like, did they say they're going to come back today or did they say they're going to come back? They said they were coming back today. They said they had another delivery in the area. This guy was like questioning if we're lying to him. And my wife's like, no, that's what he said. I'm in the background getting mad. Like, I want to rip the phone from her hand to be like, what are we doing here? I'll give him a call, the guy says. Calls him up, gets back. You know what? They're not answering, and I tell you why. You were their last delivery. That's why they're not answering. They're done for the day. They're not coming back. Okay, well, can you send someone else? We got a fucking freeze refrigerator in the middle of our living room. No, it's almost 4 o'clock. We can't do anything past 4 o'clock, and we got to have a ticket from Lowe's, yada, yada. So I call Lowe's up, and I'm not good at asking for free shit. I'm not, you know, I can give a little bit of an attitude. I'm not afraid of confrontation, but I'm really bad at yelling at someone that it's not their fault. And so I call up little snippy, this lady, but she gets me a ticket or whatever for them to come back tomorrow. And she had to do it before 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. This is like a fucking bank. Can't open the vault past 4 o'clock. Let's hurry and get this ticket in. What are you doing? You know? Gets it in. They come, get it today. Everything's fine, whatever. Hooked it up today when I was at work. They came early, which is fine. But it was fucking crazy. And I haven't, you know, last podcast, I went a little personal. I grew up with a little bit of an anger issue. I think everyone does. Maybe. I maybe was a little worse off than some. Chip on the shoulder, you know, can probably say that. But I've been pretty patient, especially with having kids and being married and stuff. It makes you patient. Yesterday, there was no patience. You know, I got no sleep the night before. I was tossing and turning, waking up every fucking 15 minutes for whatever reason. Daughter's been sick. She was in the bag, kicked me in the balls, kicked me in my asshole all night. driving me nuts. So I had no sleep. Work sucked. I'm cranky. I'm a little kid that's cranky. And it just was, it was fucking rough. And that didn't make anything. So I snapped. Yelled at my wife, which I'm not proud of. Yelled at my daughter. And I literally stormed in my room and laid in the bed, put the fan on me as I'm getting hot and fucking climbing through ceilings and shit, trying to find this red valve. And I just lay there for a little bit and I'm just like, you're fucking, you know, it took me like 20 minutes. And I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Get up and start making amends. And I did, but I haven't blew my top like that in a while. And so Lowe's, go fuck yourself. All right, let's talk fights, baby. Little hair of the dog that bit you on that drink. Isn't that a saying? That's a saying. I bet it is. Guarantee it. Fight night. Fight night time. Like this card. Like this card a lot. I'll tell you what I don't like about it is there's a lot of fights that I'm very unsure about, which usually makes for a fucking great card. And there's a lot of fights that I'm very confident in. Some lines are wider than others. You get the idea. That's how it is. But I just don't have a good sense on this. I'm going to get my slime ball at the end of the fucking show. I don't know how confident I am. But first fight tonight, Tafan Njuqui. Tafan to Don, 6-1, plus 155 underdog, versus Azamat Murazikov. I think I pronounced that right name right. 10-0, minus 180. Let me tell you something about this Azamat. He is highly touted. 10-0, Sambo Master of Sport, whatever they call that over there. 5'10", 32, so, you know, making his UFC debut, isn't the youngest guy in the world, but again, 205-pounders, guys that are usually bigger kind of peak a little bit later, and they stick around longer. I don't know why. You know, I'm a big dude. I'm sticking around. You know what I'm saying? You know, look good on the Contender Series. Won by first round knockout over Matthias Scheffel, who was this giant Brazilian who is not very good, but he put him out pretty quickly. Undefeated, a lot of wins by all different ways. Big, big power in his hands. Tricky southpaw, bounces on his feet really well. Tafan to Don, man, listen, he came in the UFC. He beat William Knight in the regional scene. Knocked out big old Willie Knight, big, thick Willie. And then fights Al Montavo, who's a 155-pounder at 205 in the Contender Series. Wins by knockout, tosses the guy around. You did what you're supposed to do. Then he comes to UFC, cuts weight, cuts to 85, fights Jamie Pickett on expiring fight. And then he fights, I had this memorized. Here we go. He fights Jamie Pickett. Then he fights, beats Jamie Pickett by decision, unexpiring, underwhelming performance. Fights Union Park, loses a majority decision, close enough fight, but still just wasn't enough there. But I believe he's back at 205 at this point. The 185 might have been just, let's see. Yeah, that was at 185. Okay. So the 185. So two fights at 185. Then he popped back up to 205 against Mike Rodriguez. Again, a guy that you could probably showcase some shit, and he didn't. He's still young in the game. He's out of that Lloyd Irvin camp, the same camp Sadiq Youssef is. So you got to imagine they're both putting in pretty good camps, good training partners. He's live at plus 155, 100%. But I'm going Murazikov here. I think Murazikov is a talent. I know he's undersized maybe for 205. 6-inch reach disadvantage against Tafan, who is also not the biggest 205er either. Guy's got little arms, but he's in and out. He's got a powerful left hand, good sambo, can mix it up, has wins all different kinds of ways. Again, I get googly eyes for these new guys. I'm very confident in Murazikov here after I really dug it in and looked up the tape. Tafan hasn't fought anybody. He hasn't really looked all that good. The competition he has fought. You know, we thought the UFC was thought they were getting a killer. Doesn't have a finish in the UFC yet. He's 2-1. I know bouncing up weight classes in great form. He's 6-1, still kind of coming his own. He's big, thick, strong. You know, he's been cracked in there in the cage and hasn't fucking moved. So we'll see what Murazikov can do here. But I like Murazikov. Give me the Russian. The Russian invasion is real. Probably shouldn't make that joke now. What's going on with Ukraine? I immediately regret it. I apologize to the entire world. Kind of fuck Russia. I'm not a politician, but kind of. Guido Canetti. plus 125 versus Chris Martino. This is a fucking dumpster fire fight. This is a porta potty fight if I've ever seen one. Not just a regular porta potty, but a porta potty at like a really shitty carnival where they just load them up on the trucks and just drive them to the next town. Don't even clean them out. That kind of shitty fight. come on.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
That goes to both of them. Chris Martino, I've said it before, I'll say it again. He's famous for getting the shit kicked out of him. He didn't look good against Sean O'Malley. People are glorifying that fight. He's 9-5. He's got green hair. He's not that good. You know, he's got some decent strikes, a little bit well-rounded, but he's got a ton of losses, and he's got losses by knockout. Tony Gravely knocked him out. He's been choked out. Every loss he's had has been a finish. Now, I know, the Sean O'Malley fight, they should have let him go, blah, blah, blah. Guido Canetti's like 50. What is he? How old is he? 42. When's the last fight he's won in the UFC? He beat Diego Rivas by decision back in 2018. So this is like literally the UFC's like setting this kid up for success here. I hope he loses because I don't think he's that good. But, I mean, minus 150, I'm going to pick him to win. I'm not going to play this fight. I don't see a world where Guido Canetti, 8-6, 42 years old, is all of a sudden going to start winning fights now. Chris Martino got a little bit of hype for getting the shit kicked out of him. So he's got to come out, he's got to perform, he's got to finish. So if I had to take this fight, I'd take Martino by finish. It's the only way. If he squeaks out Guido Canetti, he's done, and I was right about him. If I'm wrong, which I'm wrong quite often, go Martino by finish or submission or something because, you know, that's what he has to do. He's got a lot of hype for getting the shit kicked out of him. I just not my cup of tea of a guy. Next up, Cody Brundridge. He is a plus 110 underdog versus Dolce Lungabalula. Now, I know what you're thinking. Did he pronounce that last name right? No, I did not. I did not. This fight is another kind of dumpster fight a little bit. I mean, you can see, I don't know why Tufan and Mirzakov are at the bottom of this card, the opener. I mean, that maybe they want to open with a banger. Mirzakov has a nice little following. Was supposed to make his UFC debut multiple times. Tufan, again, 2-1 UFC, kind of as a banger. Figured, why is that opening the card? Anyway, Cody Brundage versus Dolce Lungabalula. That's the last time I'm going to try to pronounce it. Kind of a dumpster fight, but listen, I never thought I'd fucking do this. But, I mean, Cody Brundage is a dog I'm going to take. And with my options, I'm a dog locker. So that you're just getting a smidge of that because I'm not very confident. So I'm looking at this card, right? Okay. And I'm looking at some of the dogs and I just don't love a lot of them. I think I'm only taking three dogs throughout the card, spoiler alert. And I go back to Cody Brundage, who lost his UFC debut to Maximov, but he looked good wrestling. He's a wrestler, married to Amanda Bobby Cooper, former UFC fighter, kind of a babe. And Dolce just has looked very not good in the UFC. You know, he seems to be this big, intimidating guy. He's 5'8". Okay, he's 5'8", ripped up Jack, but he's 5'8", 185-er. I mean, that's like Hector Lombard, Rosamar Paul Haller style shit. I just don't think he's that good. I think he's lumbering. I think he's slow. And I just don't think he has the wrestling chops. I think Cody Brundage is going to just wrestle, dive out his legs. As long as he's got gas, as long as he can go three rounds with Dolce, because Dolce fades too, but the wrestling heavy thing, I like Cody here. He's my dog lock. I don't love that. I'm going to play it because I'm going to trust my read. I've been on fire lately, but I don't love taking Cody Brundage as an underdog here. I like him taking as an underdog. I don't like taking him as an underdog lock. Small underdog, but I like him by finish as well. I think he could maybe get a submission. He is very heavy on top. He's good on top when he can get you down there. Problem is he gasses out and sometimes he'll go submission over position, give up position. But sometimes he likes to do that because he likes to take you back down. Now, I could be totally underestimating Dolce's strength here because he's a big fucking thick boy. Stout at 5'8". I could be underestimating his strength. I just think Cody is just the better wrestler. And I'm going to play the dog and going to play that Cody's got some gas in this. All right, next up, Sabina Mazo, 9-3. She is a plus 260 dog versus Miranda Maverick. 9-4, she's a minus 330. Now, listen, Miranda is a candidate for the slime bar. At least she was. Spoiler alert, she's not. I've been burned by Miranda before. You know, she got embarrassed by Aaron Blanchfield with his, you know, no shame in losing to Blanchfield, who is an absolute fucking stud. Great grappler, great wrestler, bad bitch in there, mean. Miranda Maverick got exposed. She got her wrestling and grappling exposed. Miranda came in the UFC as that girl. Lost a close decision to Macy Barber. Lost to Aaron Blanchfield back-to-back, but back-to-back up-and-comers. Sabina Mazo's been around for a while. Probably your last stop in the UFC here. And when you're Sabina Mazo, you look at her record, right? Maria Agapova choked her out. The girl who had a fucking heart attack last week in two rounds and got choked out. Lost to Alexis Davis. That was bad. Both in 2021. Didn't have a win in 2021. Alexis Davis is a vet. You know, she just retired. Her wins are JJ Aldrich, Justine Kish, Shayna Dobson. Okay. Decent wins. Finished Justine Kish, no longer in the UFC. JJ Aldrich split decision. I thought she lost that fight. Shayna Dobson. Shayna Dobson has a losing record. And then Marina Morosa was UFC debut. She had lost to Morosa as well. So I just don't know how Mazo is going to win this. I think Miranda Maverick is more physical. I think she has better striking. Mazo has a blueprint to beat fucking Maverick. It's take you down. I don't know if she can, though. Miranda, you know, she's a work in progress, and hopefully she learned a lot. And let's just put it this way. Fucking Sabrina Mazo is not Aaron Blanchfield. I like Miranda Maverick in the spot here. Minus 330 is a little heavy to lay after someone coming off two losses. Vegas still thinks pretty highly of her. Probably going to be a pass for me. You could probably take Fight Goes the Decision. I don't know if Miranda Maverick gets Mazo out of there. Maverick, you know, if I was her, a lot of hype, right? Mazo, UFC vet, not the best record. Kind of a big, not a big name either. Has she been finished in the UFC? Let me see. Okay, so one time in the UFC. She got rear naked choked by Agapova, okay? I don't know if Miranda Maverick's going to rear naked choke her, but if I was Maverick, I would hunt for the finish. Two losses now. Go out there, finish this girl, and go, hey, I'm back, baby. Okay, I fought two beasts and Barber and Blanchfield. I'm back, okay? And I just put a stamp on it. Don't know if that's going to happen. So I hope it does. I like Miranda Maverick. She's from VA. Shout out Timbo. She's my pick. I'm not confident. Next up, Damon Jackson, minus 110 versus Kamuela Kirk, minus 110. Both these guys, Vegas gets it right again with the line. Both these guys are very, very similar. Damon Jackson, probably the worst hairline I've ever seen. Don't know why he just doesn't take the fucking razor out and get it. Coming off an impressive win over Charles Rosa, but can any win over Charles Rosa be impressive? I mean, the guy just, he's been around forever, but he just doesn't get big wins. And then before that, he got completely starched by Topuria, where he was a favorite in that fight, I believe. Wasn't he a favorite? Was that Topuria's UFC debut? It was not, excuse me. His UFC debut was the law. So I don't know if he's a favorite. Topuria's an underdog in one of those fights. I don't know if it was Damon Jackson. I could be confused. But he got starched by him. But he's got some good wins over Mirsad Bektik in the UFC. He got him by Renekit, or that was his UFC debut, excuse me, guillotine choke round three. And Charles Rosa. So he's 2-1 in the UFC. He seems amped up for this fight. He likes to strike a little bit. Kamuela Kirk coming in, got a little bit of hype out of him coming out of Arizona. And made his UFC debut against Makwan Amerikani, which is a tough debut. Amerikani's a vet. Looked pretty good. Had a decision, went over that. Has fought some good competition. A lot of his losses are guys who are top level. I actually don't know who this Anthony Bank. Okay, Anthony Backham, 12-7, still fighting the LFA. I don't know him. He's got a decision loss majority to him, so that was a close fight. But Billy Q got TKO'd by Billy Q, knocked out, excuse me, by back in 2019, and then a close decision loss of Bruno Souza, who's in the UFC as well. After that, went on, finished his two fights, got a shot in the UFC. I think this kid's growing. I think he's good. I think he's younger than I don't think he's younger. He is younger. That's science. So when you give me an even line like this, I think they're both even. I think Damon Jackson likes to strike a little bit. He's proven to be fairly durable until you run into a beast like Topuria. But he has been finished on the feet before. Very crafty on the ground. Long for the division. Good chokes. I don't love his wrestling, but good chokes when he gets to the ground. Doesn't care if he's on the bottom, top, whatever. Kirk stays within himself a lot and has good striking. Doesn't have the most dynamic power. At least I haven't seen it yet. He does have some finishes, but you know, it wasn't like crazy something that jumped off the page to me. I'm going to go Kirk here. This is an even fight. I like minus 110 on Kirk. I think this will be faster, a little bit younger. Damon Jackson scares me because I do think he's the more potent finisher. I think he can definitely get it done, but I think Kirk's going to have a little bit more in the gas, and I think Kirk is just going to be the younger, fresher, want it more kind of guy. I think it's going to be a fun fight. This could be fight of the night. Great fight. But Kirk it is, minus 110. I love me pick'em fights, baby, because I like being right. You know what I mean? The line might not be great. I like hitting underdogs. Everyone likes hitting underdogs, but man, something about those pick'em fights, son. Trevin Five-Star Jones. Who? Trevin Jones. He is a, where am I at? Plus 125 underdog versus Javid Basharat. I probably butchered his name. 11-0, minus 150. Basharat coming off the contender series looked very good. Undefeated in his career. I believe all his wins are from stoppage. This kid is very, very good on the ground. He takes you down, stand up pretty good. I don't know if he's going to really want to stand up with Trevin Jones. He's going to want to take it to the ground, beat him up on the ground, look for a submission, look for a TKO. His ground and pound is very good. Trevin Jones has crazy dynamite in his hands, big, big power. But most of the fights that he, at least in the UFC, that he's knocked people out, he's been losing. So Javid's just got to be very within himself. And I think he just, if he takes it to the ground and beats him up on the ground, because I think Javid can take Trevin Jones to the ground whenever he wants, and I think his ground and pound and submission game is going to be enough that I like him a lot here. Almost was my mortal lock, but I struggle making UFC debutantes my mortal lock. But I like Javid Basharat here, getting a good number on him right here. I think he's a good talent at 135. Want to see him fill out a little more. I don't think he's the biggest guy at 135, but ground and pound and cardio and everything is on point. Trevin Jones, listen, has that dynamite in his hands. Everyone likes this kid when they fight. You know, he represents Guam. What does he fight out of, though? Does he fight out? He's just fighting out of Guam. Is that where he lives? I thought he was somewhere else. Anyways, coming off a guillotine loss over, I'm not even going to try to, Kakramanov. I can pronounce that last name. With a fight that, you know, he looked a little stiff and a little flat in. Mario Bautista, again, a fight where Bautista has been proven to be a little chinny at times. And then Timur Valley, you know, a fight where he was absolutely getting butchered by Valley and then knocked him out, got overturned because I guess Trevin Jones was by someone that smoked weed, which is complete fucking bullshit. I don't even care if he fucking ate a pound of weed. It's fucking weed. Shut up. And then I'm looking at some of his losses. So he's got one loss by rear naked choke over Allen something million years ago. So a lot of his losses aren't by finish. There are a lot of by decisions here. Kakramanov was by submission as well. You know, Basharat's a finisher. You're probably going to get maybe a nice finish line because in considering Trevin Jones doesn't just go out there and fade away. Maybe something looked at, but I like Basharat here. Big time. I'm minus 150. Let's go. Next up, JJ Aldridge, who is a plus 105 dog versus Jillian Robertson. She is a minus 125 favorite. This could be a competitive fight. I'm going to avoid this fight at all costs. Goddamn, I'm not touching this fight. Competitive stuff. JJ Aldridge is always in close fights. Good boxing. Your takedown offense has come a long way. Not the best ground game. Jillian Robertson, highly aggressive, likes to come forward, will take you down. Stand-up game, not that good, but she's durable and she's tough and she doesn't go away. Jillian's been doing a ton of grappling on the grappling scene. Every chance she gets, her grappling is very, very good. That's going to be the story of the fight. Jillian's going to try to push her way in, strike when she has to, and then try to take JJ down. JJ's going to try to stop her. JJ was or is one of the main training partners of Rosamund Muniz. Hasn't really shown it in the octagon yet. Hasn't shown it in the cage, in my opinion. I think she's a very good fighter. However, she's came up short in a lot of fights, and I think if there's a corner that needs to be turned in her training or her mind, she needs to turn it. I'm going to go JJ Aldridge for the simple fact that I do think that she is going to be able to stop Jillian Robertson, who I don't think has the best takedowns. If it gets to the ground, bail. Hedge out, because Jillian Robertson is very good on the ground. I like JJ controlling the distance. I like her being able to stuff the takedowns, keeping Jillian striking, and if it's a striking battle, I think Jillian loses, and you're getting a plus number. However, that is just a pick. I will not be betting this fight. I don't care if I go to Indiana on Saturday morning, right? Got my caffeine, got my girls with me. I pull up my phone, and it's the only fight that they're doing. The only fight I can bet on is this fight. I won't do it. I will not. My addiction to gambling is not that strong that I have to bet this fight. I don't know. I don't have a good read on it. Avoid it. Next up, fight I'm looking forward to a lot. Matt Selmsberger. He is a minus 220 favorite versus AJ Fletcher, who is a plus 180. Just watch AJ Fletcher's little 20-minute feature they did on him. You know, from Louisiana. Louisiana got hit with a horrible storm. Like, right after he fought in the Contender Series. Looked great on the Contender Series. Flying knee. Flying knee finish. Trains at Gladiator MMA, which is where... I got some in my fucking throat. Gladiator MMA, which is where Dustin Poirier got a start. Still trains out frequently, but obviously goes to his camps at American Top Team. Tim Crater, head coach there. Fought on the Ultimate Fighter. Louisiana legend. Fletcher's there. Big knock on Fletcher this week is a lot of people like him as a dog. I can see why. He's explosive. He has good wrestling, good boxing. Problem is, the big knock on him, he hasn't fought anybody. Who has he fought? He hasn't fought anybody. His record is very, very padded. But, you know, that is only one way to look at somebody. The other way is to look at what they can do. He fought a decent guy in the Contender Series, and he dominated. He looked fucking good in that fight. First couple minutes of the fight, or maybe the first minute of the fight, he didn't look very defensive sound. He kind of addressed that on his little UFC thing they did. Go check it out on YouTube, where he's like, I was just being too aggressive. Now, you enter Sullensberger, who is, I'm pretty high in this kid, former football player coming out of Maryland, big dude for the weight class. One loss in UFC was Chaos Williams. Very close fight. He took Chaos Williams' best shots and go away. Knockout over Jason Witt. Unanimous decision over Carlton Minus. That's going to be a minus in my book. You should have finished Carlton Minus, and that was your UFC debut. Minus. He stinks. Jason Witt, you know, good wrestler, but he knocked him out in 16 seconds. So what are you going to do? Lost to Chaos Williams. Competitive fight. Then gets Martin Sandow. Knocks him out in 15 seconds. Sano might be one of the worst fighters that ever stepped foot in the UFC. He got a UFC shot because of who his buddy is, and that's Nick Diaz. So listen, I can understand why people are picking Fletcher here. I really do. The problem is Fletcher seems like a guy who's going to be a problem in that first round with his wrestling, with his power, with his explosiveness, right? So let's see. So he's got his UFC debut, or not UFC, MMA debut, round three. He's got a decision win, round one, round three win, submission, don't know what round, submission, don't know what round. His last three fights have been round one, round one, round one. This is the big leagues. You're in there with Sullensberger, who has shown to have some pretty good takedown defense so far in the UFC. Not many have attempted it, but he's a big athletic guy. He obviously has knockout power. He's got a pretty good chin. Fletcher, I think, is going to have moments in this fight, but I'm going to go Sullensberger here. I hate the number, though. I get it. Sullensberger's a little more proven, but he's proven against nobody. He's fought nobody either. So when you're using that argument against Fletcher, you're using it against Sullensberger. So I take the records out. I take who they fought, and I look at what I'm looking at, right? And I just think Fletcher, it seems like a guy from the tape I've seen, he's going to fade a little bit. I have really no evidence to back that up. I got a feeling that that's what he's going to be. He's very explosive, very muscly for this division, right? And Sullensberger's a guy who flows a little bit, right? Big, long, tall guy. For this division, you know, it's going to come down to the wrestling. Honestly, can Sullensberger stop this guy's wrestling? Because he has a pretty good double leg. I see him throwing big shots early, and then Sullensberger, you know, slowly taking over the fight. I see it being a decision win for Sullensberger. Going to be a competitive fight. I hate the line. So I understand why people are hammering the dog. The head's moved. I believe Fletcher was 200 earlier this week. And now he's at 180. A lot of sharps. A lot of guys getting on Fletcher early. Makes sense. I get it. But I like Sullensberger here. I don't love him, though. I when I was looking, trying to build my slime ball, I looked at Sullensberger, right? And then I go, okay. And then I just went through his record and looked at some fights. And I was like, God, he's fought nobody either. Chaos Williams is the only guy. I mean, Jason Witt is a good opponent, but he's chinny, and he got him out of there in 16 seconds. So I'm like, I'm looking at his list. I'm like, Carlton Minus, fucking Martin Sandow. I mean, these aren't anybody either. You know, close fight with Chaos, he's very, very good. But, you know, and he took Chaos's best shot. I think he can take AJ's. I think AJ, again, good a fade. But it's a good underdog pick, just not my pick. Give me Sullensberger. Next up, Bruno Silva versus Alex Pereira. Now, the rest of the fights are the fights I broke down on Anik and Florian. I'm going to try to mix up what I said on there. I actually don't even remember what I said. I don't write any really notes down. I write, like, little things that I kind of want to hammer in there, but nothing's written down, so... It's not going to be word for word, so I'm going to try to mix it up if you're coming over from that, so I'm not repeating myself. Bruno Silva's Alex Pereira is a banger. This fight is fucking good. Silva just said today, hey, I'm not fucking taking this guy down. Could have all been smoking mirrors. I'm standing with this dude. I want a knockout. And Listen, Silva probably doesn't have the wrestling or the ground game to really threaten there. I mean, he's probably the more advanced overall mixed martial artist, but Pereira's training with Glover. They saw a picture of them in like some ice thing there in Connecticut where it's snowy. And Pereira looks to be in great shape. Don't know how old that pitcher was, but he looks to be phenomenal shape. He's big for the division. And if Bruno Silva wants to stand with him, Bruno, you got wobbled a little bit by Jordan Wright. He was a powerful guy, but he's also a fucking serial killer. But if you're getting wobbled by him, Pereira's left hook's going to put you in the next week, bruh. Sticking with Pereira. I like him. Slimeball candidate, Alex Pereira. That's how much I like him. I said on the Anakin Florian, very confident in this pick. I have now doubled down. I did that on Sunday. Today is now Wednesday. Obviously, I've just been diving into this card even more confident in my pick. Give me Pereira here at a pretty good number. I know he's a little inexperienced. The ground game's a big question mark, but I think this is a perfect opponent. All right, next up, Drew Dober, who is a minus 170. This line has been moving crazy. It was Terrence McKinney, plus 145. When Anik and I did this, it was 200. Both guys were in the 200s. Now McKinney's out on plus 145. A lot of people hammering the money on McKinney here. This was the fight I was a little unsure about. I kind of picked thinking Kenny maybe would go Dober, so I went McKinney. You know, I know that's confusing. I picked McKinney because I thought Kenny Florian would go Dober. I want to go opposite the underdog points. He ended up picking McKinney too. Dober's biggest thing is his wrestling, right? He gets taken down. He's been submitted before. He hung tough with Islam, but I feel like sometimes maybe when people are in there with someone that good and they get a guy like McKinney, they even are thinking, guys, I've been in there with Islam. This kid's going to have nothing for me. And McKinney is very explosive. He's fast. He works quickly. He jumps on you before you even know what the fuck's happening. So I'm going to stick with Kenny at plus 145. I like him as an underdog here. I would like to see it stand up a little bit. I'm a little worried about. I want more answers on Terrence McKinney. He's got a good wrestler, or he is a good wrestler. He's going to take the fight down. He's got a good rear naked choke on him. Moves very quickly. I want to see him outside the first round. I want to see the cardio, and I want to see the chin a little bit. He's been hurt in fights before. He's been buzzed before. I want to see the chin because he does have big, big power. Drew Dober has big power as well. Good Muay Thai game on him. Coming off, I believe, two straight losses. Dober is hungry for a win, but I'm going to go McKinney here. I'm not super confident in it anymore, and I really never was. Again, I gave the pick trying to play the game, so that's why he's not my dog my dog lock, you know. And by the way, Pereira, I completely missed it because this is the first time I've ever done a fucking podcast. It's only been 331 of these, Brian, but Pereira is my...
Send him home. Send him home early.
That's Johnny Anik, baby. He's my send him home. I think he's knocking out Bruno Silva there, so put money on that. Back to this. Not confident in McKinney being my dog lock. I do like him as a dog spot. Submission prop might be juicy. Or fight doesn't go to decision if you just don't want to play the sides. Fight doesn't go to decision is probably going to be very high because I don't think this fight goes to decision. I think one guy's getting out of there either way. Khalil Roundtree. They pronounce that on the floor. I'm terrible at pronouncing names. They did that on the Florian podcast. Khalil. Plus 105 is called Robertson. See, I always call him Roberson because there's no T. Fucks me up every time. Very competitive fight. I broke this down. Not much more I can say on this fight. Battle the inconsistence. Both guys like to strike. I just think Robertson has the better ground game. He gets on your neck, it's going to be a problem. And I think he has the better cardio, even though both guys aren't fucking cardio machines here. Give me Robertson. Still sticking with that there. Next up, you got Alex Caceres versus Sadiq Youssef. My guy. And Siddiqui boy, I picked him on the Anik and Florian. I'm sticking with it. I think he is a fantastic fighter. Young kid coming off an Honor Allen loss. I think he's going to be aggressive here against Alex Caceres. I think he's going to walk forward. I think he's going to piece Caceres up. He's only been finished by knockout one time in the UFC. I see him coming for a finish here, and he is my mortal.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up.
Little alien tone there. I don't know what happened to that audio file. I got to have to ask my daughters about that one. But yes, I like Sadiq Youssef more lock here. Slimeball candidate number two. He's going to be in a slimeball. I'll give you the third one at the end of the show. So mortal lock, Sadiq Youssef. I like him by finish as well. I didn't know if I like him by finish. I have written down here on my paper by decision because Caceres is very durable. And I think Sadiq might come in and maybe kind of play it safe, trying to get a win over a vet, a crafty guy who has cash as an underdog before. Underdog money, I like on Caceres. I'm not going to take it myself, but I can understand people picking that. Caceres has a better ground game, better submission game. I just don't think his wrestling is going to be able to take him there. I think Sadiq's going to be able to control on the pace on the feet. And Caceres is kind of tricky on the feet. He's long, but you know, he's very hittable and he's very durable, but I think Sadiq is going to come out a little more aggressive here. And he hits good. He hits hard. He's fucking tough. He's durable and he's got cardio for days. So give me Sadiq Yusuf. I like that bet a lot. All right, come in a minute. Marlon Moraes. Hey, I'm Mickey Mouse, Marlon Moraes. He is a plus 200 underdog versus Song Yadong. Best name in the MMA. Minus 240. Listen, still, pick hasn't changed. Pick a Song. Marlon's just been finished the last three times, and he's looked really bad and unmotivated. He went to Thailand. Hopefully that gave him a kick in his ass. He's 33 years old. I don't want to see him keep taking this punishment. If he loses, he's gone. If he loses, he's in Bellator or PFL. That's for sure. You know, he had a good run in the UFC for a while. He's beat some really good guys, and maybe he can get back there. But I think Song, 24 years old, cement head, bully ball kind of guy. He's going to come forward. He's going to throw heavy leather. And Marlon's going to look good probably in that first couple minutes, throwing some devastating leg kicks, maybe mixing up some big punches there. But defensively, he's not sound. His cardio has failed him in the past. If he tries to wrestle, he'll gas even sooner because Song has been working on his wrestling with Alpha Male. Seems like he's been there since he was fucking 14. I like Song here. This was going to be one of my spots where I was going to take fucking beatboxing. Take Song as a mortal lock, and I was going to take him in my slime ball. But I had a little pause just because Marlon can be dangerous. You know, I'm really fading Marlon on his last performances. Maybe he's just going to come in here a completely different guy and just blitzkrieg, put his career back on track. That could very well happen. He's very talented on the feet. I don't see it personally, but, you know, we're playing safe ball here, okay? We're trying to win some money, so I just avoided that. I do think Song's a good bet, though. Minus 240, you're getting in the high range. Obviously, if you got a bankroll, that's fucking that fat. You got a knot. It shouldn't be a big deal, but, give me Song Yadong, man. All right, Thiago Santos, plus 400 now versus Magomed Ankalaev, minus 530. Ankalaev looks to be in phenomenal shape. Saw the pictures today of him posing in his Venom fight gear. A beast, stud, haven't wavered. He's my pick. I think I broke this down kind of perfectly on the Anakin Florian. I think I'm just going to repeat myself. So go check that podcast out. Go check the breakdown. I believe they just retweeted that out. So Anakin Florian Pod on Twitter. I think I retweeted it too. So go to my Twitter, Everyone Takes Podcast. But I just want to keep repeating myself, guys. I have no new angles, no new takes. You know what I mean? I like Ankalaev by finish. I still like him by finish. TKO late. Santos is dangerous. I think Ankalaev is going to mix up wrestling. Santos is going to get tired. And then it's going to be curtains of maybe like the late third round here. That's it. That's my picks. So just to recap, Mortal Lock, Sadiq Yusuf, send him home. Alex Pereira, dog, Cody Brundage. Those are all three bets. I guarantee you I will bet. And the slime ball parlay, the one that's going to bring us home, that's going to take us a 5-1. I'm super nervous about it. You know, Timbo's guys are counting on me. That has pressure. You know, and everyone, you know, I got a little bit bigger of an audience now. People are going to ride the slime ball. I'm terrified. So Sadiq Yusuf, Mortal Lock, he's in there. Alex Pereira is in there. Because again, he's got that juice, that juicy juice, confident. And then something that is probably going to bite me in the ass, but I'm going to do anyway because I'm an idiot. But Azmat Morozov, the USC debutant, going against Tefan Chikwi, who is a very good fighter. He is in my slime ball too. So we're starting the night. I can't talk right now. I'm so thirsty. Ran out of my drink. Starting the night with a slime ball of a UFC debutante coming off the Contender Series. What could go wrong? History's on my side, right? Contender Series guys come on and they fucking do good all the time. The good news is he's fighting a Contender Series guy. Bad news is Contender Series guys had three fights in the UFC. So, I just like this guy. I think he's mean. I think he's tough. I think he's got ability. He's probably going to fucking gas out and cost me my slime ball. But at least I'll know in the beginning of the night. And that's the thing for the people that tail me too, right? I can't live bet my state yet. Ohio, get with it. We're legal. Books haven't opened yet. But a lot of times people bet the main event so you can hedge out. I'm giving the slime ball the first leg. In my first fight, my first leg of it is the first fight. and it's the one I feel the least amount of confidence in. So if he loses, reload. Go Pereira, Song, Ankalaev. I didn't want to give Ankalaev because I gave a huge favorite last week. I want to mix it up, but the slime ball this week is plus 256. I got that on Caesar Sportsbook. That's something we can all fucking like, right? Huh? Let's go 5-1 with the slime ball. All right, that's it. That's your show. Follow me on Emma Takes Podcast everywhere. YouTubes, Twitters, IGs. Catch me on Anakin Florian Podcast as well. You should probably already know that podcast because some of you guys come over from that. So that's it. That's the show. Let go.
Hey, pal, do me a favor. Get her down off there. What do you say? Woo! I say let her dance. Woo! 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 Come on, baby. Woo! Hey, look, pal, we don't want to... Come on, motherfucker, back. Come on. Come on, motherfucker. Come on.
Escort this gentleman to the door.
Come on. Do you see that shit?
Yeah. Who is that guy?
He's good. He's real good.
The name is Dollar.